You're listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to the Bought and Beloved podcast. For those of you who don't know me, hey there, what's up? Hello, I'm Kirby Minnick, also known as Kirby is a Boss on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and I am so excited that y'all have joined me today on the Bought and Beloved podcast. But before we dive into today's podcast, I just want to take a moment to thank you all. Thank you all so, so much for showing this podcast so much love lately. I've been seeing it shared all over social media, that people have been sharing it to their friends. It's been people's first time hearing me speak, aside from my actual speaking engagements and YouTube and all my other platforms, that this is actually being shared and people are being transformed, being changed, being freed, being refined. And it's just so incredible to see that God is at work. God is at work in this podcast. So again, thank you all for sharing it and continue to share the podcast. Rate it, subscribe to it if you're not subscribed already so you can get that sweet notification for every time I upload. I'm super excited to see what God continues to do with this podcast. And I just want to thank you guys because not only is this just something for me to do, but this is something I'm passionate about and you all make it happen for me. You give me the ability to do that. And the Lord has given me this platform, but without your support, wouldn't really be where I am today. So thank y'all. But hey, we have a topic to touch on, so I'm not going to get too sappy, too sentimental. We are going to talk about God's faithfulness. Whoa. I'm so excited. Now, as my reoccurring listeners know, I have a public email. It's bottandbeloved@gmail.com, all spelled out, bottandbeloved@gmail.com. And that's just a place where people can send me any questions, topic ideas, literally whatever. And I respond through my podcasts with the word of God. And this week I got an email from Miss Hannah Grace. And this is what she wrote in. She said, "Hi, Kirby. First off, let me just say that your podcasts have been so amazing. The one on godly friendships has helped me out a lot this past week, and I was wondering if you could talk about how to fully rely on God and trust that He has you and your situations in His hands. I've just been going through a lot of stuff these past couple of months, and I'm struggling on trusting God and relying on Him to pull me through it. I don't want to sound like a horrible Christian, but I'm just struggling with trusting that God will bring me through it." I think that's so cool how God is using this podcast. I know I just said that, but literally, I feel as though God gives me specific words in my heart throughout the week, and then I'll find submissions that literally line up with that word. So to anyone who is struggling with trusting in God today, remembering God's faithfulness, or just anything in correlation to this, or if you know someone who is, Mark 8 is where we're going to be anchoring ourselves in today. That's the truth we're going to be in. Now, I have definitely found myself in overwhelming situations where I have questioned God's goodness and faithfulness in my life before I was a Christian and even being a dedicated Christian as I am right now. For instance, currently, I have no idea what's to come after graduation. And at times, it can be very tempting for me to just look at the people around me, observe what the world's standards are and what I should be doing with my life and this and that and the other. And it can cause me sometimes to doubt in God's provision and protection in regards to my future. It can sometimes cause me to ask God, "God, do you really know what you're doing? Can you, like, let me know what's happening? Because I don't really know if this is what's supposed to be going on." In another instance, I vividly remember praying one time and God telling me to break up with a guy that I was dating. And it seemed like it made absolutely zero sense. Like, I kept asking God, "Why? Why do you want me to break up with this guy, considering that our relationship was healthy, it was holy?" But God's only reply to me was, "Just trust me. You need to trust me. You need to give up this relationship to me." And it was so hard to do, guys. It was so hard to do. You know how sometimes God will, like, vividly speak to and give you a specific word, and you're like, I need to pray about that and like really make sure it's from God. But like, you definitely 100% know it's from God. You're just putting it off. Well, delayed obedience is still disobedience, but that's tea for another time. Anyways, I put it off for like 2 months because I was so scared to trust God with that circumstance. But a specific pericope of scripture, and pericope is just a fancy word for those specific story chunks in scripture. So a specific pericope in scripture that we're going to be looking at today is Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. Now, although I can't necessarily speak in regards to my future with graduation, I can say that with that situation with the guy that I was dating and giving that relationship up, God was faithful through it all. And that's something I'm going to keep in mind as I continue to talk and teach and preach this specific message. Whatever it is that you are going through right now, if you are going through a situation where you are really questioning God's faithfulness and you are just worried and scared, I want you to have that at the forefront of your mind as we go through this word that the Lord gave me. And yeah, here we go. So Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21, the title of the pericope is The Leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. And we are going to start. Now they, meaning the disciples, had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he, Jesus, cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they, the disciples, began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Now, let's keep in mind what happened just before this event in scripture. So Jesus had just fed the 4,000 with the miraculous blessing of abundance and supply over just 7 loaves and 2 fish. Now, this is not to be confused with the previous miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and that was with the little boy's lunch. So with that, also keep in mind that with the 5,000, with the 4,000, that's not including women and children. So it was probably way more than 5,000 and way more than 4,000. But when these little amounts were given to Jesus, Jesus took the little and he made it something greater. He was able to turn something so small into an abundant blessing with leftovers. He turns your little into leftovers, y'all. That is the God that we serve. But getting off topic. Anyways, after feeding the crowd of 4,000 in this instance, he and his disciples then sailed over to Magdala, which is where good old Mary Magdalene's from, and it was over there that he was met by some Pharisees. And what did they do? They started arguing with Jesus because they loved to do that. They loved to question Jesus's authority because Jesus claimed that he had the same authority as God because Jesus was God, the Son of God. He is part of the Trinity. He is fully God, fully man. Boom. And they didn't believe that, nor did they like that. So Jesus is going around performing all these miracles in the name of the Lord because he is the Lord. He is the Son of God. He is God. And the Pharisees don't like that. So they begin testing Jesus's authority. Even after doing all these miracles, basically already proving that he is who he says he is, and they start demanding that Jesus do a sign from heaven before their eyes. Now, this is similar to that of Elijah. They are referencing that Jesus do a miraculous sign before their eyes, just as Elijah did when he called upon God and fire rained from heaven. Do y'all remember that in the Old Testament? My Old Testament scholars out there. Also, quick side note, little soapbox. If you haven't ever read the Old Testament, take the time to read it because it is so good. It is so rich and it's the roots of our Christian heritage. So yeah, go read that. Okay, soapbox over. But yeah, Jesus had been doing all these countless miracles at this point, and that alone should have been sufficient evidence towards Jesus' claims as the Son of God. So he then comments on their desires of seeing a sign, and he implies that their hearts are already hardened to the truth that has been happening already. And because of this, they would not see a sign. They chose to have blind vision towards who Jesus was and the miracles he had already been doing. And from that, Jesus said, no, I'm not going to perform a sign. I don't need to prove myself. Don't test me. Don't test me. Don't test God. Now, it is after this that we get to this chunk of scripture, Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. And as the disciples and Jesus are sailing over to their next destination, the disciples realize that they forgot to bring bread. All they had was one loaf. Now again, keep in mind that Jesus had very recently fed over, 4,000 people, not including women and children, with just 7 loaves and a few fish. Now Jesus overhears this and he warns his disciples, hey, you need to be aware. You need to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod that's going to so sneakily creep in and disrupt the truth that you have been exposed to. Now, this is important that Jesus refers to Herod and refers to the Pharisees as leaven. So what is leaven? Well, symbolically, leaven represents sin all throughout scripture. All throughout scripture, leaven represents sin, but physically what it actually is, it is a lump of yeast. And when you add it to dough, it allows the bread to rise. So even when you take the smallest bit of leaven and you add it to the dough of bread, it develops, it spreads. There's this bacterial kind of thing that goes on through the dough. And it begins to spread throughout the entire bunch of dough. And in that time, they would set aside leavened bread from previous batches. So they would take just like a little, boop, a little pinch of it, set it aside, and then they would add it to the next lump of bread that they were making. And it would take over basically the whole lump of dough and so on and so forth. They would keep that process going. It was a process. It was a pattern, I guess you could say. So another thing that we can keep in mind is that Jesus is noted and quoted to be unleavened bread. So that was the type of bread that he actually used during the Last Supper at Passover. It represented, again, his sinless body that was broken for us. So that's very important that Jesus during Passover even went to the detail, the extent of using unleavened bread to symbolize his body because that was his sinless body. So we see, you see this, I really want this to be clear, that leaven represents sin. Leaven represents sin. So going back to this scripture, Jesus is basically warning his disciples to abstain from the thoughts of the Pharisees in their blindness to the truth and the power of Jesus. That if they allow those lies to come in, that mentality, that thinking, that unhealthy kind of doubt, because we can allow doubt to spur just closer into faith, closer to proximity with Jesus, or we can just sit in it and we can allow it to develop and leaven the whole lump. We don't want that happening. Jesus is warning them, hey, don't become leavened like these Pharisees. Don't, you know, they, the truth has been exposed to them, but they have allowed these lies to just leaven the entire lump. The thinking of the world, the ways of this world, they've allowed it to just rise and take over and spread within them. So yeah, Jesus is basically warning them to abstain from this blindness to truth and the power of Jesus that has been exposed to them. Now, I am super proud to announce that today's podcast is actually being sponsored by one of my favorite brands, one that I've worked with in the past on my other social media platforms, and it's FabFitFun. So for those of you who don't know, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-sized beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. I remember when I got my first box from them, and I seriously felt like it was my birthday all over again, because the products that they include are insanely amazing. I remember getting a cute eye mask that I still use to this day from Free People in one of my boxes, and I also have received Tarte makeup palettes in another one. I mean, you can expect all kinds of brands such as Glam Glow, Anthropologie, Beauty Blender, and way more in your boxes to come. Now, this $49.99 box is valued at $200. So that is honestly a steal. And on top of that, they gave me a sweet promo code for all of you so you can save even more money. So if you swing by www.fabfitfun.com, you can use code BELOVED for $10 off your first box. Seriously, guys, these boxes sell out so fast. So sign up ASAP and snag a box for only $39.99 instead with the coupon code BELOVED and feel fab, fit, and fun.
Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? If you take it by May 31st, you'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text Converge to 31996 and take our quick 3 minute survey. That's Converge to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
Now again, Jesus literally just multiplied 7 loaves of bread into 4,000. I am pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that he could multiply 1 loaf in the boat to feed his 12 disciples and himself. But even at this comment, the disciples begin discussing how they had no bread. They literally, like that, what Jesus said to them just whoop, went straight over their head. And they start talking, oh, we're going to have nothing to eat. We're going to starve to death. We're going to die. Oh, my gosh. Like, okay, maybe they didn't say those words. But they begin freaking out and doubting that they will have enough food to eat. Like, hello, not only did they have Jesus, the miracle worker, with them, but they had the bread of life himself with them in the boat. They had the abundance of provision and protection and heavenly power and authority with them in just the presence of Christ alone, God incarnate. Jesus was aware of this discussion that was taking place, and he called them out on this. Now, although theologians don't know what tone Jesus had with them exactly, whether it was stern or angry or brokenhearted, the message still has meat and it's still good to digest. So Jesus questions them, saying, "Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear?" I mean, think about this. These were the 12 disciples, like Jesus's posse, his squad, his gang. They saw these miracles firsthand. If anything, they should be perceiving. They should be the ones having open hearts. They should see clearly. They should hear clearly towards Jesus's teaching and character. I love how he follows up by asking, "Do you not remember?" Oof. He calls them to recount how many leftovers there were from his miracle with the 5,000, which was what? 12 baskets full leftovers. Then with the 4,000, where they took up 7 baskets full of leftovers. And he concludes this section by questioning, "Do you not yet understand?" I want those two questions to sink into our hearts today. Do you not remember? Do you not yet understand? And I'm not saying that, and the Lord is not saying that with condemnation or with anger in his voice, or, "Ugh, I can't believe she forgot. I can't believe he isn't remembering," and blah, 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 or whatever. But the compassion, I want us to just think about the heart of Jesus. Do you not remember? Do you not yet understand? We cannot forget the Lord's faithfulness and character. He is constantly providing. He's constantly making a way for his will. He is in control of the storm, everything. We need to understand who he is, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. I know that I have been in seasons where I've questioned God's goodness and his commands and ways, but for me, and by this scripture, through really understanding these questions that Jesus is asking, it is through remembering his faithful nature and history and understanding his heart and character that I and that we are able to be confident in every circumstance and avoid the mentality of testing God, of not having faith in him. Yes, pray with expectation and don't be afraid to ask the Lord to confirm things, but know that God has fully proven himself already through his word, and if you're a believer, through your salvation. I mean, that's testimony. When that small, still voice calls you to be obedient without reasoning, don't test him. Submit in faith, because that produces thanksgiving. That produces intimacy. That produces understanding. That produces testimony. Miracles happen when we step out in faith. I don't know if you guys have ever taken the time to read through Hebrews chapter 11, but it is all about faith, and it's so good. It just continues to show how all throughout the Old Testament, how God was working in the lives of all the prophets, all the lawgivers, just time and time again, God and his people, how when he called them to do something, to step out into what he willed for their lives, and that would make his name greater, his kingdom come down to earth, when they stepped out in faith, God met them. God came through. He supplied. He was their provision, their protection, and all the more. And it was fueled by faith. Now, faith, there are two sides to it. There's either unbelief or belief. And choosing to act in faith is choosing to just act on the belief and knowing that where things might seem gray, things might seem scary, things might seem unknown, God comes in and he fills in time, eventually, with a peace that surpasses understanding, with revelation that we wouldn't have been able to find within our own reasoning. And I love how in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it defines faith. It says that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is the reality of where our hope is and the evidence of the unseen. It is a reasoning trust. Faith is a reasoning trust. When we have faith in God, it is trusting who he is through our understanding of who he is and remembering what he has done. So if you are afraid to step into something, if God has called you to do something, if you're entering into a season that you know he has destined for you to walk into, that he has called you into, or even if you feel like you're in a wilderness and you don't know what is going on and you just need to trust in the Lord with whatever is happening, don't forget what he has done. Don't forget who he is. Understand his character and nature through reading the word, by getting intimate with him, by pursuing prayer with him, and remember what he has done time and time again throughout history and in your own life, because that will give you confidence and that will give you all the more reason to step out in faith, to continue persevering and walking and running towards the prize, fighting the good fight and running this race. So if you want to see the 4,000 be fed in your life, if you want to be freed from the bondage that you are in, your Egypt, whatever that specific area is in your life that you have been praying over, that you have brought to the forefront of your mind, have faith in the God of miracles. Don't allow the leaven of this world, just lies and the attacks of the enemies, cause you to doubt his provision and protection in your life. You might think things should happen a specific way, in a specific order, in a specific time, but you need to abandon that and you need to have open hands in receiving whatever it is God has for you. In the meantime, with those hands of yours that might feel empty, lift them up. Lift them up in praise. Lift them up in declaration. Lift up the little that you have so God can multiply it, just like he did with that fish, just like he did with that bread. Know that whatever the Lord wills, it will be for his glory, the edification of his people, and for your good. Don't forget who is in the boat with you, and whatever it is that you have in your hands, he can work with it. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than you know. Three takeaways that I hope that you take away from this podcast is that you remember. In times where you are doubting God, in times where you are struggling and having faith in God, remember who he is by running back to his word, by taking time to write down all that he has done in your life, how he got you to where he got you today. The second thing, I want you to understand his character, his nature. How does he work? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says that he knows the plans that he has for you, right? We're not always going to know. But what is true about his nature and character? That everything that he has in store for you is to prosper you, right? That his plans are good and for the glory of his people, that it will provide the fullness of life, right? We need to understand who he is and marry that with our remembrance of him. And with those two things, allow that to activate your faith. Move in faith. Remember, understand, and walk. Walk in obedience. Walk in faith. Walk in confidence, knowing that Jesus is in the boat, that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more. Man, I hope that served as an encouragement to you, Hannah Grace, and to everybody who's listening today. Know that through remembrance, know that through understanding, and through walking in faith, stepping out in obedience, even when it doesn't seem to make sense by our rationalization, that God is faithful. He always comes through time and time again, and he will continue to carry you and carry out his will and do, like I said, exceedingly and abundantly more in your life. But man, I hope y'all have an amazing week this week. Don't forget to subscribe and to rate this podcast. And if you want to leave a sweet comment, that'll mean the world to me as well. I have my public email out there. Y'all know that, botandbeloved@gmail.com. So take advantage of that. Send in your questions, your topics, whatever, and maybe you'll be featured next week. But with all that being said, I hope you all have a blessed week. I love you guys, and thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast.
Thanks for listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about the show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but then daily putting it into action and drawing inspiration on the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo.